You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Friday's edition of the podcast and you can hear all of Friday's races live, of course, with us on Racing Radio in the company of Gordon Brown, Dale Gibson and Gary Capewell, who'll be in the studio previewing Sandown, Fakenham and Newcastle in the afternoon and the two all-weather evening meetings from Wolverhampton and Dundalk. My name is Sam Norris and it is my great pleasure to be joined in the studio by one Mr. C. Pimlott. Hello, Pimlott.
Very good afternoon to you, Sam. Yes, great to be here as... The time's ticking away to that big happening in March.
The C word.
Exactly, yes.
As the wizard calls it.
And then, obviously, we've had the unveiling of the other.
Indeed.
Big thing.
The A word.
Later on this year.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Indeed. And any Cheltenham previews on the horizon for yourself, Pimus?
No.
No.
No, 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 no.
Phone hasn't been ringing.
The phone hasn't been ringing. And to be honest, my phone never rings. You know, there's nobody been knocking on my door for a Cheltenham preview. Although, I must admit, listening to one or two of my exalted colleagues here in William Hill Towers, an awful lot of those Cheltenham previews are going by the wayside.
Really?
There's nowhere near as many of them as there have been in the past. And again, certainly, when you pick up the Racing Post, there used to be pages of them being advertised. And I certainly know that one or two of our colleagues are obviously... just feeling it in the pocket.
Feeling the pinch.
That those Cheltenham previews are not 2, 3, 4 and 5-fold like they used to be for them.
They were slightly overkilled, were they?
I think so, previews. Exactly, yeah.
There was a hell of a lot of them.
They got too many of them, didn't they? You know what I mean? So, yeah, they're more likely got the balance a little bit better now.
Yeah, I would say so. And as you mentioned there, the Aintree Grand National weights came out a little bit earlier on the week. Moved from a lunchtime do... to an evening drinks do, Pimmers. What did you make of that?
Well, it didn't work, did it? Didn't work, son, did
not
it?
Not really. No.
People were rude, according to the headman from Aintree, that they weren't listening to the people that were on the podium talking and unveiling the weight. So it doesn't sound like that move was the way forward.
Mm.
Again, more than likely, in theory, it thought it was going to work, but didn't quite happen. And again... maybe they'll have a change of tack and go back to what was always happened for the unveiling of the Grand National Weights, an afternoon in London. But again, you know, we need change. We need to move forward. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And seemingly that wasn't the and more than likely by the sounds of things, the venue wasn't the right place either. So, they've a little bit to look at there of Aintree, but take away nothing from the entries. Absolutely stunning. Entry. One or two questions being asked about the handicapper's decision to weight some of the horses.
Yeah, he's whacked a few of the good ones up.
Yeah, he has, yeah, for whatever reason. But listen, in his infinite wisdom, he usually does a tremendous job, doesn't he, Phil Smith? So I don't think I, for one, will start knocking him just yet, that is for sure. So, yeah, it's all to look forward to. And again, the Irish, who I thought had a bit better track record in winning the National in the past 10 years or so ago. And that's not quite been the case. Obviously, they won it with Rule the World last year. But they've got a strong hand. Gordon Elliott, I think, has got 11 entries. All you give a sporting chance to, you know.
Yeah.
So, Ireland possibly have the stronger hand of the two. And I don't know if we are betting England to win the Aintree Grand National or Ireland. I'd be tempted.
How would you bet, Pimus?
Well, I'd say there'd be slightly odds on the Irish.
Would you?
And I would definitely be taking the chance that an Irish horse wins the National this year.
Yeah, as you mentioned there, Gordon Elliott, he's got 14 entries in total, 11 of those in the top 40. So he's got 11 that are guaranteed a run and a further three that could get in the race. We'll just get up the betting for the Grand National now that the weights have come out. So of course, Gordon Elliott has announced almost immediately that top weight Outlander won't be running.
Yeah.
So that must have I was annoyed Phil Smith a little bit. He's got his weight sorted, got his idea of top weight. As soon as they come out, Elliot, no, we weren't running Outlander there.
No.
Co-favourites of three at the time recording for the Grand National. Don Poley, One for Arthur and The Last Samurai are all 16-1. One for Arthur has been the big mover in this market. Pimmers was as big as 50-1 before he won that Warwick race. Don Poley is going to go via the Gold Cup, which is interesting. The Last Samurai was second
fantastic
in the race
last year. Yeah, we ran a blinder. And there's obviously been specifically trained for this race, so
yes,
that's a big plus for me. Kim Bailey, getting a very capable trainer, getting one ready for the day. But there's plenty in there as well that you could take a chance with. Uncello Conti's been well supported. Carlingford Lock, top class horse in his own right. Foxtrot, very capable. More of that, no thank you. You can't give him away for me at 25-1.
No,
not a hoping. Wherever.
Would you want a zero on that price to
yeah,
get involved?
Yeah, definitely. No, not for me.
Why whatsoever. Is that?
I just don't. Well, I don't think he'll get there. I don't think he's got the constitution.
Right. Okay.
I don't think. I say he's. You know, I would say there is much chances of him getting to the Grand National as me heading to the moon.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd want more than 250-1 on that then.
Exactly.
To be perfectly honest,
yeah.
I'm not sure you've got the constitution to go to the moon. Have you?
Well. I have been called a moon man on many occasions, so that just could give me a little bit of an edge up there.
Possibly, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's the Grand National then. And interesting, of those market principles, One for Arthur is the one who's going to be getting plenty of weight from his market rivals, the likes of Don Poley and The Last Samurai, as you mentioned there, 11 stone 7 and 11 stone 5, respectively. One for Arthur would only carry 10 stone 6 versus those three. He's probably got a bit to find terms of form on the track, but... That big weight pull.
Oh, yeah, it'll bring them together, that's for sure. But, it's a very, very, very strong Grand National entry.
Absolutely. More on that closer to the time, I am sure. Just before we move on to some of Friday's racing, anything else on your mind lately, Pimmers? Anything caught the eye in recent days and weeks?
Not really. I mean, I know the report's out today that we've got some fantastic racing on Good Friday, some wonderful prize money on offer. I think there's $1 million at Lingfield, 250 grand... at Newcastle, and I think 100 and something odd at Bath. So well done to ARC. I don't often say this, but well done to them for putting on some cracking prize money on the Good Friday.
Yeah, absolutely. Credit where it's due. It promises to be a very intriguing and very rich now all-weather Champions Day, particularly at Lingfield. That does look a good card there. We'll move on then, Pimmers, to take a look at four races on Friday. We've got three at Sandown and one on the all-weather at Newcastle to bring you. We start with the Sandown races, beginning with their 2.10 contest, which is a handicap chase. Nine runners line up for this Class 3 event. It's just shy of 2 miles the trip. An interesting bunch of runners here, Pimmers. What did you make of them?
There's only one horse for me in this race. I think you pronounce him Pugnoni Bobby.
Pugnier Bobby.
Pugnier Bobby. Excuse me. Pugnier Bobby. I loved him when I saw him at Ludlow there last week. What a stunning looking individual. He's everything that epitomises Nicky Henderson's steeplechasers. He was big, strong, powerful. He travelled through the race like a superstar. He jumped really well. Drops back in trip tomorrow. Obviously, he's got a stiff task with 12 stone 5. Hugo Hunt takes a valuable £7 off him. Handicapper took a dim view of that success last time. Plonked him up £14. He's only got £7 tomorrow. Mm. So he should actually, even with 12 stone 5 on his back, be well in. He's got to run in tomorrow because he can't run in a handicap at the festival without having 3 runs in steeplechases.
Oh, okay.
So this is going to be his 3rd run. So that's him qualified for Cheltenham. And I'm hoping that he wins like he did at Ludlow, because I really think this is an exciting horse. One that we've not seen anywhere near the best of. And hopefully, again, he proves that tomorrow. One thing for sure, he'll jump out, be in the van.
Okay. Pugnier Bobby then, the top weight in that handicap chase, getting the nod for Pimmers en route to one of the big handicaps in March. We stay at Sandown then for their next race, and it's the feature race on the card at Sandown, the 240. The Grade 2 Jane Seymour Mares Novices Hurdle. 2 mile 3 is the trip. Just a quintet have lined up here. It was never going to be the biggest field here, Pimmers, a Grade 2 Mares Novices Hurdle. There aren't that many of them about, but what do you make of the 5 that have lined up?
There are 5 lovely, lovely mares, aren't they? That's for sure. They've all got winning form. And to be fair to Colin's sister, she seems to be going from strength to strength. She dotted up last time we saw her at Haydock Park. And I think there's possibly a little bit more to come from her. Got to give weight away all round, but she's done that because of that listed success last time at Haydock. On official ratings, she's a little bit to do with Happy Diva, who I thought ran well enough in defeat at Donny last time out when beaten by Constantine Bay. Kelka's an interesting one. Malcolm Jefferson doesn't take too many down south these days, and Kelka, again, a little bit to find on the handicap mark, but stable's in good form. And Miss Pavois is also another interesting player. She was a winner at Warwick last time by two lengths. And, you know, she's in good enough form. And Theatre Territory was a faller the last time we saw her. That was at Newbury. But prior to that, she was a winner. And again, carries the colours of the Whaley Cohen family. So she's certainly an interesting one for Nicky Henderson. But I think Colin's sister is very much on the upgrade and very much the one to beat.
Okay, Pimmers takes Colin's sister then to give the weight away at Sandown and make it a four-timer for Fergal O'Brien and Paddy Brennan in the plate. Sandown's 4.15 is the next one for us. Then another handicap chase here. 3 miles the trip this time and 10 runners have lined up. What did you make of this field?
I thought this is very, very tricky, to be fair, Sam. We're wide open. Plenty of horses coming into the race in reasonable form. King of Glory is interesting for me, but we haven't seen him for 414 days. I think take a rain check on his price tomorrow, because if he's supported, Venetia's horses have been in good form of late, and you know, he could not be overlooked if the market speaks volumes for him tomorrow after that long abscess. But the horse I'm going to take a chance with here is Knight of Noir, the Neil Mulholland runner. I thought he ran well enough last time out when he finished third behind Final Nudge at Hereford. Steps up in trip tomorrow. He could well be an each-way price. And I just thought in a tricky race where, you know, you could make a case for most of them that he might just be the value. So Knight of Noir in a, what I thought, trappy three-mile chase.
Okay, Knight of Noir then gets the nod there for Neil Mulholland and Nick Schofield in the 4.15 at Sandown Park. We're taking one from the Tapperton out in Newcastle. This is their 3.25, a mile and a half handicap here with 10 runners lined up to go to post for this one. And we've got a few in here, Pimmers, who have contested some big handicaps in their careers.
Oh, yeah, we've got a strong field, to be fair, at Newcastle. And obviously, so we should be. They're giving just short of 16,000 to the winner. So, you know, a reasonable pot on offer. And, you know, it's given us a very interesting race. Obviously, Petite Jack's interesting. He's on a rock and roll at this moment in time. And again, he was a winner at Linkfield over a mile and a half last time when beating Dolphin Village. Dolphin Village opposes again tomorrow for Sean Harris and Charlie Bennett. And the other one that's been in reasonable form of late is Sinocchian Star. We just saw this one run 4 days ago for the Mark Johnson Yard. That was at Wolves over a mile and one. Slightly further tomorrow. But I feel it's a typical Johnson horse, this Sinocchian Star. He's tough as old boots. He never, ever seems to run a bad race. He's racing off a mark of 90 tomorrow. And I'm hoping that that run 4 days ago hasn't left its mark and he can bounce back to form. So Sinocchian Star for me in a real good handicap.
Okay, Sinocchian Star then, Mark Johnson and Joe Fanning combine on that one for the 3.25 at Newcastle. Thank you very much for that, Pimmers. Just give us a quick recap, if you would be so kind, of your four selections on Friday afternoon.
Yeah, looking for what at this moment in time is one of my horses that's in me tracker. Or is it Tricker?
Tracker,
is
Don't
it?
Don't tell me you've got a tracker.
No, I've got a Tricker.
A Tricker.
It's a different sign of thing,
okay.
You know what I mean?
It doesn't sound as good, the Tricker.
No, but he's in my Tricker, is this horse.
Okay.
I loved him at Ludlow. I'm hoping he's going to move on to bigger and better things.
One for the festival as well?
Definitely. And that's in the shape of Pongay?
Pugnay.
Pugnay Bobby. Pugnay Bobby. When he gets to Cheltenham, I'll be able to pronounce it.
Okay.
Then we're looking at the Mayor's Listed race, now going into the shape of Colin's sister to make it a four-timer. In the three-mile handicap chase, very tricky indeed, I thought, but the selection there is Knight of Noir. And on the tapeta surface at Newcastle in the 3.25, going for Sinocchian Star.
OK, thank you very much. There we are, thoughts of Chris Pimlott ahead of Friday's racing. You can hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1.20pm Friday afternoon with Gordon Brown, Dale Gibson and Gary Capewell in the studio, Sandown, Fakenham and Newcastle in the afternoon before Wolverhampton and Dundalk in the evening. Thank you very much for that, Pimmers. Pleasure as ever. Enjoy the racing and we'll speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.